The Lord be with you. Good morning. It is Thursday, June 5th, 7:23 Central Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It's a great day to be with you. It's a nice day here in St. Louis. It's not too bad, actually. It's been kind of humid lately. Humidity is still kind of high, but it's only like 66 here in St. Louis right now. Not too bad for a June day, right? I guess that's what it should be like. Well, it is a good day also, more so because we have the Word of God to start our day. We've got a Psalm and New Testament reading for this morning. We're going to check in with Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services and hear what's going on with our friends there. And we'll also hear from our friends at Emmanuel Lutheran School in Brandon, Florida. Another exciting story, another Lutheran school does it again. They're sending a student to one of the National Bees. Looking forward to checking in with them here in a little bit. During the 8 o'clock hour, we'll study the daily lectionary. Our guest pastor for that will be the Reverend Christopher Berger from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, South Carolina. We're going to get into Luke chapter 20 this morning. And then during the 9 o'clock hour, we'll join together for morning prayer. Our psalm for today, Psalm 80, verses 14 through 19. Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted, and for the Son, whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire, they have cut it down, may they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the Son of Man, whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading for today is from Luke chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. One day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who is it that gave you this authority?" He answered them, "I also will ask you a question. Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" And they discussed it with one another, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, all the people will stone us to death, for they are convinced that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy these tenants and give the vineyards to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our meditation for today is from Martin Luther. This ministry will endure and is not to be replaced by any other. But the incumbents of this ministry do not remain, they die. This necessitates an ever-new supply of preachers, which calls for the employment of certain means. The ministry, that is, the Word of God, baptism, and Holy Communion, came directly from Christ, but later Christ departed from this earth. Now a new way of sending was instituted, which works through man, but is not of man. We were sent according to this method. According to it, we elect and send others, and we install them in their ministry to preach and to administer the sacraments. This type of sending is also of God and commanded by God. Even though God resorts to our aid and to human agency, it is He Himself who sends laborers into His vineyard. Therefore, everyone who preaches must realize that he has been sent. That is, he must know that he has been called. He dare not venture to sneak into the office furtively without authorization. It must be done in the open. The sending is done through man. For example, when a city, a prince, or a congregation calls someone into office. But at the same time, this person is sent by God. There's our meditation for this morning. Thanks so much for joining us this morning to be a part of His time, to start your day with the Word of God and prayer. We're going to check in with Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services, LSS Living, here in just a little bit. So I hope you can stick around for that conversation. Always good to hear from them what's going on with LSS Living. Always some great encouragement as well from Jane each week. So stick around for that conversation and also our friends from Emmanuel Lutheran School in Brandon, Florida, in just a few minutes. All that part of His time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
God said, I, even I, am He, who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. A beautiful assurance for you and me from the one who gave you the God-man of Calvary. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me for scripture, music, trivia, stories on the lighter side, encouragement from God's side. That's Moments of Assurance, weekdays from noon to 1 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO, underwritten by Mid-American Coaches.
For our 75th anniversary, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service celebrates more than 500,000 lives transformed through ministries of mercy and justice. Celebrate this milestone through Refugee Sunday on June 22nd. Special LCMS resource kits are on the way to your congregation for planning, discussion, prayer, and action. Join us and thousands of other congregations as we walk with migrants and refugees to brighter tomorrows. LIRS.org.
This is By the Way. No doubt you've seen some of the many ads for investment services, each encouraging investing for the future. So a little ad I saw recently caught my attention. It was practically the opposite message. It said, in effect, don't worry so much about the future. You don't owe your children or the next generation anything. You've earned it, so spend it and enjoy it. Actually, many of us will probably not have a significant financial inheritance to leave to the next generation. Still, we can leave a rich inheritance when we leave our children with great memories of childhood, values that endure, good habits, concern for others, and a strong faith in Jesus Christ, a faith they learned early on at home. What a treasured inheritance to pass on. This is By the Way.
Good morning, I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Here is the St. Paul's Choir with O Risen Christ, Ascended Lord, on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO.
Oh,
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, June 5th, and 7:34 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, Jane Wilkie from Lutheran Senior Services. Good morning, Jane. How's it going?
Good morning, Andy. It is going great. I was just sharing with Andy listeners that I took the wrong exit for some reason today. I don't know where my mind was, which is a great lead-in to closing the loop on Alzheimer's.
You know, we're located at the International Center now.
Yes. We're not... It's like, oh my goodness.
I'm just teasing you.
I certainly hope the rest of the day does not go like that.
Oh, it's fine.
But if you remember last week, Andy, we were talking about that great event coming up at Meridian Village in Glen Carbon, Illinois, called that quarter auction. And so
I've been saving quarters.
I was just going to say, it's 2 weeks away from tomorrow. So you can... Or is it 1 week away? 2 weeks away. Two weeks away from tomorrow. It's June 20th. And so anyway, you have a chance to save your quarters to take part in the quarter auction. It is at $25 if you reserve a space beforehand. That's your all-inclusive paddle, or $30 at the door. So that gets you in and in effect allows you to do the bidding at such a reduced rate per quarters. As we said, you know, like you can bid like one quarter in the bucket, and then like if it's 0 to 25, two quarters, three quarters. So you can get wonderful merchandise. Auction items, probably a better word than merchandise, for take home and benefit a wonderful cause at the same time. Meridian Village is one of our continuing care retirement communities, and it is part of what they're doing is our overall support of the Alzheimer's Association. There are various walks, and we become sponsors of three of the walks. Lutheran Senior Services itself, those in the greater St. Louis area here, are sponsors of the walk that happens on September 6th, 2014, and that is going to happen at Scott Trade Center this year. It has happened at Busch Stadium the last couple of years, moving over to Scott Trade Center. And then Meridian Village helps to sponsor the walk in Edwardsville that happens on September 27th, and our Breeze Park Senior Living Community in St. Charles is a sponsor of the Alzheimer's Walk, Walk to End Alzheimer's by the Alzheimer's Association that happens also on September 27th. So our individual communities also do smaller fundraisers on a smaller basis to add to their gifts, as well as encouraging our employees to walk for that day or to donate to one of the teams so that we have an overall gift to Alzheimer's. And interestingly enough, two colleagues and myself went to a summit on Alzheimer's just this Tuesday. And it was a reminder. It was sponsored by the Alzheimer's Association, and it brought to us by the St. Louis Business Journal. And the panel of folks, it was really very compelling. There were four gentlemen, and three of them really had been touched by Alzheimer's personally through their family, their parents. They are three business leaders here in the St. Louis area. And the other gentleman was Dr. Morris from Washington University, who shared a little bit about the research being done. And what was really a takeaway from that event for me was the high cost of Alzheimer's.
Really?
And I don't just mean the financial cost, because that was even barely touched upon. What really came through loud and clear really are the emotional costs. So the family members that could talk about that experience of all of the events that need to happen when you have a loved one, in their case, it was their parents and their parents-in-law, those stages of needing to make the difficult decisions. When is that loved one no longer able to drive?
Yeah.
What kind of care do they need? Can you provide the in-home care? Do you have caregivers that can do that? And the great toll that it takes on the caregivers. Sometimes you need to move your loved one into some sort of care center where their high needs, especially the more advanced that they become, their high needs can be cared for by someone who's really trained to do that care. Huge emotional costs. Mm-hmm. And one of the gentlemen even talked about the business cost, which I really hadn't thought about before. But when you think about it, when you are that family member and you have someone in your extended family that has Alzheimer's, you may need to take off a lot of work.
Sure.
You may need to give up some time when another caregiver needs to have a rest mm-hmm. or a respite. You may not be able to plan ahead for that. So it impacts just a lot more than you think. So I would urge our listeners not to forget about the Alzheimer's Association, whose goal it is to fund the research. Mm-hmm. And as Dr. Morris had shared, we are far from finding that answer, but little by little by little. So I would urge everyone to think ahead and to also to think ahead to the walks that are coming up. If they would like to learn more about taking part in one of our walks at any one of our being part of any of our teams, we would certainly welcome that. And I have a coworker who actually coordinates a lot of that. So his name is Luke, and they could give Luke a call at 314-446-2410, 314-446-2410, and Luke could connect them mm-hmm. to any one of our teams.
So now's the time to get out the shoes and start walking.
And start walking so you can be ready. Absolutely.
And if you do it now, all through the heat of summer, by September, it'll feel great. It'll be nice and cool, right?
That is a very good point. That is a very, very good point. I took part in the Komen Walk for in St. Louis here. It was probably 3 years ago when I was here to do it. Oh my goodness. It was so hot that day and I was not prepared. So good point, Andy.
That's why walks happen in March or in September.
That's right.
Here in
that's
St. Louis.
Right. So from that standpoint, I wanted to just close the loop on our conversation with Alzheimer's with, I think, which could be an interesting take on forgetting. Only it's a totally different kind of forgetting. It is the type of forgetting that happens when we ought to be forgetting those grievances mm-hmm. and those resentments that we are holding on for years and years and years holding on to. I can't help but think about the fact that that summer is also a time for reunions. And I think I mentioned on air a couple of weeks ago, my family in Minnesota had a wonderful reunion. And at least two or three times, different individuals mentioned that how blessed we are as a family because we don't have a lot of the huge issues. Mm-hmm. It's not that the issues didn't happen. It's that the family took time to work them through, talk them through, confess with one another, and offer forgiveness. But I know that's not the case for every person. I know that's not the case for every relationship, whether it is a personal relationship in family, friends, whether it is a business relationship, whether it is two neighbors that just can't get over that tree that's hanging over in somebody else's yard. Somehow, some way, because of the sin we have, we tend to hold on to the grievances and we tend to hold on to resentments. And I wanted to just close today with a short devotion from a book that was published actually in 1997, a small little book. It was published by CPH. So I'm not even sure if it's in print anymore. That's why I'm so glad that I have it. But it is called Grace Notes, and it's a devotion for women. And so you have to indulge me a little bit. And those of you who are men in the audience, try to see yourself in this devotion. It is written by Grace Cook, and it is Grace Cook. It is written by Ruth Cook. It's from Grace Notes, and it is based on Proverbs 21, verse 19. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. So it's titled Remember or Forget. Vintage joke for either gender. My wife has the worst memory. Oh yeah? Forgets everything? No. Remembers everything. If you live with such a person, it isn't funny, but a bit of self-examination is instructive. I like it when people get along, and I often help, but I sometimes hang on to hurts and injustices after they could have died a natural death. I'm pretty good at CPRing old wrongs. Makes me ill-tempered, chronically annoyed at people who would have done better or should have known better. And even though it's good to discuss problems, sometimes, she writes, I don't know when to quit. I keep trying long after the other person is exhausted. I probably seem quarrelsome. My family hasn't voted to move to the desert yet. That's good. I want to speak up, work on problems, and deal with the past in a way that pleases God and lives out His graciousness and keeps my family from eyeing the desert. Then she closes with this challenge. Try this. When you're ruminating about an old grievance, stop and ask God to help you work on a plan to address it so you can deal with it and give it up. And this prayer, God of forgiveness, I'm sorry for the times I'm quarrelsome and ill-tempered. Thank you for forgiving me because of Christ's atoning death. Teach me how to manage conflict in a way that pleases you and serves my family well. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jane. Always good to check in with you each week. And God's blessings to you this week.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
All right. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with our friends from Emmanuel Lutheran School in Brandon, Florida. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Help in time of need. The Holy Spirit is God, the life giver, who draws us to Jesus Christ, who opens our hearts to faith in Him for our salvation. Jesus sent a helper to humanity because even believing in Him was beyond our power and capability.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Well, another Lutheran school has done it. I don't know if you remember, not too long ago, we talked with Trinity Lutheran School in Crown Point, Indiana, about sending a student to the National Geographic Bee and the National Spelling Bee. And Lutheran schools are outstanding, doing a great job. The students are just amazing as well. And another Lutheran school is doing it. Emmanuel Lutheran School in Brandon, Florida. David Garcia recently completed eighth grade at Emmanuel Lutheran School in Brandon, Florida. He was one of four students from Emmanuel to compete in the National History Bee Regionals in Florida and is set to go on to Nationals. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good, you?
Good, good. Now, are you all done with the school year? Everything wrapped up for you?
I am.
Very good. And so you are, you competed recently in the regionals for the National History Bee. How did that go?
It went pretty well. I'm not sure how many students there were, but I came in second place.
Wow, very good. And how many of your classmates from Emmanuel Lutheran School in Brandon were with you?
Four.
Very good. And so tell us about how, well, first of all, how old are you, David?
I'm 14.
14, going to the National History Bee for the National History Bee Finals. You made it through the regionals, now going on to the finals. And how did you prepare for the regionals, and how are you preparing for the finals?
Well, honestly, a lot of it is memory and understanding what you're talking about. For example, what I did was I went on sites like Netflix or YouTube, and I looked up videos on the Roman Empire, World War II, World War I, stuff like that, you know.
So when it comes to history, is this world history, American history? What eras are you covering?
World history, anything from the Stone Age all the way up to modern day.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot of history to cover. So you've been using the internet a lot, and how much time do you think you've invested in preparing for this? Any idea?
What do you mean, overall or?
Yeah, yeah, overall, over the last, I don't know, when did you start preparing for it? Any idea when you really started putting in the effort, and when did you have your goals set on going to the National Bee?
Actually, I've been interested in history since I was six. It all started when I'd be curious about something, I'd ask my dad, and then he'd tell me, and then I'd just keep asking about stuff, and then I'd start getting books, I'd start getting documentaries, stuff like that, and that's kind of where all I know comes from.
So you have a pretty big library of documentaries, huh?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Probably America, the Story of Us, which came out on History Channel a couple of years ago.
Very good. And is American history, out of all the history that you studied, is American history your favorite, or is there another particular era that you enjoy the most?
Mostly American history or European history, mm-hmm. like the colonial age and stuff.
Very good. Now, who helped you prepare for the regionals, and who's helping you prepare for the national finals?
For both, my parents are motivating me, Ms. Talbot motivated me, so yeah.
And tell us about Mrs. Talbot is your homeroom teacher and history coach at Emmanuel Lutheran School, correct?
She is.
Very good. And so who went with you to the regionals? Did she go with you to the regionals?
She did, as well as my parents.
Wonderful. And and so now you're getting ready for the finals. When is that trip?
The trip is on Saturday, 8-hour trip up to Atlanta, Georgia from where I am.
Very good. Okay, so the national finals will be in Atlanta.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, do I understand correctly, you recently took a trip to the nation's capital as well?
Yes, in seventh grade, we went up to Georgetown and Colonial Williamsburg, and then lastly to Washington, D.C.
Was that trip helpful in learning history and preparing for where you are now?
Oh, it was. It certainly was.
What was your favorite part of the trip?
Probably visiting Colonial Williamsburg or visiting the Capitol building.
Hmm. And so visiting those sites and seeing the history, where it happened and learning about all that history, how is that different from studying history from a textbook or watching a documentary?
Well, because it's more hands-on, you remember the facts more, you remember the people that you meet, you remember the sights, the sounds, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And so going on to the national finals and then going on to high school next year, what do you have hopes of studying history in high school, maybe in college as well?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think history is going to be my my lifelong interest.
Very good. Very good. And so thinking maybe a teacher or a historian, any particular vocational plans or hopes?
Possibly, but I'm looking to study other things.
Very good. So what else do you need to do to prepare? Anything else are you cramming in the last few days before this trip that's coming up in just 2 days?
Yes, I'll probably bring this big, thick book that I have about world history up to Atlanta.
Uh-huh. So on the trip up there, you're going to be doing lots of studying?
Probably, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, what else do you enjoy doing besides history? Do you have any other things, any other activities, extracurricular activities that you enjoy?
I like reading the news, you know, staying up to date with what's happening around the world and politics, etc.
Outstanding. Now, at school, obviously you study history in school. Did you spend any classroom time preparing for the National Bee?
Oh, yes. Actually, whenever we had our history class, that helped. Same mm-hmm. with whenever we had any free time, I'd read.
Very good. So reading and studying in class and preparing for this National Bee. What are you most excited about with this National Bee? What are you looking forward to? And maybe is there anything about it that frightens you?
Last time I went, what happened was that the moderator would say a question. He'd be about 3 or 4 words into it, and then someone would buzz in and get the right answer before he even actually said any information that would lead you to think that so-and-so was the right answer.
Oh, my.
So I'm hoping I'm faster this year. Also, I'm looking forward to actually visiting Atlanta.
Very good.
Because the CNN headquarters is there, and I heard it's a really nice place.
Oh, that's cool. Will you get a chance to visit the CNN headquarters while you're there?
Yes, we did last time, but I'm hoping to get a tour of the headquarters and to go to the Coca-Cola Museum.
Neat. So this is a return trip for you. You went last year as well?
I did.
Outstanding. Well, what do you like about your school, Emmanuel Lutheran School?
Well, it's a really close-knit school. You get to know people really fast. It's like a big family.
Mm-hmm. And for someone who maybe some of the students who are younger than you that might be looking up to you and thinking, you know what, that would be, I want to be like David. I want to go to the National History Bee, or I want to go to the National Spelling Bee or the Geography Bee. What's your encouragement to them? What's your word of advice to those students who are setting their sights on that?
I'd say if you really want to do it, go for it. It's really fun. It's really interesting experience. I think they'll remember it for a long time. So, yeah.
What do they need to do to prepare? How much work do they need to put in?
Well, with history, it's more of if you already have a passion for it,
mm-hmm.
because if you do, then it's a lot more interesting. You're going to retain facts a lot more easily. So you'd have to be pretty passionate at history. You'd have to be competitive, and you just have to have a good memory.
Very good. So it's not just memorizing dates. You got to really be interested in what's actually happening or what's happened in history to be able to remember all that information, huh?
Correct.
Well, David, thanks so much for taking some time to talk with us. We wish you well in a successful National History Bee. It's an exciting time for us. Thanks for representing Emmanuel Lutheran School and Lutheran schools in general for being an outstanding student and doing what you do well.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
God's blessings. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to study the Daily Lectionary. This morning, we're going to get to study the Daily Lectionary with the Reverend Christopher Berger. He's a pastor at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, South Carolina. Going to have a great time studying God's Word. Listeners, stick around for that. All part of his time where we start your day with the Word of God and prayer right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.